With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile smart quad door refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Staying in that state of Mississippi, let's kick it over to our interview with Michael Katz of the Daily Journal in Mississippi. This is a really good interview. I think you guys are going to appreciate it. And we touch on the Egg Bowl, of course. It's not just Ole Miss talk here. All right, well, we're joined now by Michael Katz, who covers Ole Miss for the Mississippi Daily Journal. Give him a follow on Twitter at Michael L. Katz, and that's with a Z. And give a follow to the Facebook group, too, with Ole Miss Discussion with Parrish Alford and Michael Katz. Michael, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, but I'm not doing as well as Lane Kiffin and them Ole Miss Rebels coming off such a big win there against Texas A&M. I want to ask you all about that, but before I get to that, you know, I caught one of your interviews there with Paul Feinbaum, and I had no idea until I heard that you actually, you know, have previous experience there with Lane Kiffin going back to your days at Southern Cal. Can you tell me a little bit about that, and how have you seen Kiffin grown as a head coach since that time?
Yeah, it's funny. Every time you think the world can't get any smaller, it somehow does. That, you know, 8 years after I graduate, Lane Kiffin and I would both be in Oxford, Mississippi, of all places. But he was the head coach when I was a student reporter for the Daily Trojan. I covered them in 2012, was the year I traveled with the team. He was fired in 2013, and a lot has happened since then. And, you know, that was one of the things that Paul was really interested in, is just kind of hearing how he's kind of different. And the way I guess the best way I can sum it up is, you know, obviously there's a big difference between a 30-something-year-old and a 40-something-year-old just in terms of maturity and the way they handle things. But I think the biggest thing for me is I think Lane is having a lot more fun with kind of being, you know, part of the joke and the brand, if you will. I think he enjoys kind of poking fun at himself and other people on Twitter. I don't know if he was necessarily super comfortable with that aspect of it. You know, during his USC days, he's really kind of he's done a really nice job of laughing at himself and the things around him. And I don't know if that was something that I really could have said about him when he was at SC. You know, he was a early 30s guy, you know, sort of trying to, you know, with one of the toughest jobs in college football that, you know, he was kind of thrown into, and, you know, it did not work out as he would have liked there. But I think he learned from it, and with everything that happened at Tennessee before that and everything that's happened since, I think he's sort of learned that you have to sort of embrace your persona to an extent. And I think he's really kind of come to terms with, you know, who he is. And I think he's comfortable in his own skin a lot more compared to when he was at USC.
Yeah. And that last season that you referenced, was that the year they went to the Sun Bowl? And was that, am I correct on that?
It sure was. It was the preseason number one team that finished 7-6. I've never been good luck, so apparently I'll wear that one.
When I worked at NFL Network, there was a lot of USC alums in there, and that, man, they told me some wild stories of that year. But maybe that's for a different time here, because we're on to bigger and better in the SEC. But, you know, speaking of that, I know. So clearly you've covered Southern Cal, you've covered, you were up there in Wyoming, I believe, before you came to the SEC. So I really wanted to ask you, has there been a moment where you're like, holy shit, like this SEC is different? Has there been a moment like that for you?
Yeah, I think it really hit me when I went to Brian Denny a month and a half ago, or whatever it was, because that was the real first SEC road game. I grew up, you know, going to the Rose Bowl and stuff, and that's a very different experience. Yeah, I grew up, you know, 10 minutes from there, and that's its own, you know, majesty, but it's not a true road game for anybody. You know, going to that, and I would say Tennessee, which had its own issues in terms of golf balls and mustard being thrown on the field, but, you know, just I had never really seen that sort of, you know, 100,000 people just that excited and, you know, singing along to songs and just being, you know, from start to finish so into a game. I think that was the moment where I said, oh, man, this isn't, you know, I love the Mountain West. I had some great times there, but it's moments like that where it really hits you that you are covering something a lot bigger than, you know, a Wyoming Boise State game.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about the Grove? There's so much, you know, talk about it. I'm sure when you got this job, people were referencing it all the time. Did the Grove and that experience, did that live up to the hype for you?
You know, it's so funny because everybody's been telling me about it. My first trip to the Grove was actually this last weekend for game day.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know where it was. I just had to follow somebody who knew where they were going. It turns out it was like literally right next door, like the parking lot I normally use it. So that was nice. But, you know, I'd heard about it and you know, it obviously has a great reputation. And I had just never, like, you know, I kind of hit the ground running when I got here in August and haven't really had a ton of time to, you know, explore that kind of stuff. So I went out there for college game day bright and early, and man, it's you know, it seems like an awesome place to just, you know, do the whole tailgate college football thing. It's beautiful. It's got all the shade and the trees. It's on campus. It's close to the stadium. I think it's really sort of what tailgating in college football is all about. You know, I went to USC, and tailgating there's a little bit different because the Coliseum isn't like where you tailgate. You tailgate on campus, and it's kind of spread around. And tailgating at USC is, you know, a lot of great memories, but it's just a little bit different when you have a sort of place like the Grove where everybody kind of collectively goes. And it was really cool to see those, you know, those 1,000 plus, however many, you know, fans there were there bright and early. Some of them got there at like 8 p.m. the night before, which is insane. You know, it seems a little bit excessive to me, but I guess if I had been in, you know, the right state of mind, I might have understood a little bit more where they were coming from. But just really passionate people, and just it seems like a great place to get ready for a college football game. That's for sure.
How often does someone ask you about Arch Manning and what you know about his recruitment and all that?
You know, it doesn't help when Lane holds up a sign that says "We want Arch." That doesn't really, you know, help the narrative very much. Yeah, no, I mean, my dad's asking me about it, which, you know, it's like, thanks, Dad. Dad, I promise, as soon as I get information, I'll let you know. Yeah, no, it's crazy. That hype train is moving. You know, he was on ESPN a couple weeks ago for a game, and you know, obviously the Mannings are royalty here. And you know, Eli was here for his jersey retirement. We had to ask him about Arch, which is just crazy to ask him about a 16-year-old. But that's just kind of the way college football is, and with a name like that, and you know, everything that family has done, you know, for this school, I think people are potentially really excited, but I also think that they're realistic about, you know, what college football is, and that, you know, as much as I'm sure he loves Ole Miss, there's going to be a lot of other factors that come into his recruitment. But I think people are cautiously optimistic, but, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I feel confident saying that Ole Miss will still be, you know, happy with the Manning family.
Right, and maybe, you know, Lane Kiffin, Jeff Lebby, their best sales pitch is just what they've been able to do with Matt Corral. And given the fact that there really hasn't been a guy that has stepped out and staked his claim for the Heisman Trophy, at least not yet, can you make the case after watching all of Matt Corral's games this year why he should be the guy that brings home the Heisman Trophy at the end of the season?
Yeah, so I know that the Heisman is, it's a lot of numbers, and it's window dressing to an extent, because listen, not every Heisman voter can watch every game. That's just how it goes, and I get that. you know, numbers do matter. But I said this on Twitter a week or two ago that I thought Matt Corral, I don't know who's going to win the Heisman, but I think he's the most important player in college football to his team. Mm-hmm. And I say that because that offense, everything they do from the running game to obviously the passing game, everything, their tempo, it is all predicated on Matt Corral being back there because his ability as a runner opens things up for that trio of running backs. He's got a golden arm. I think we all know that. I really think that his importance to that team can't be understated. And you know, he's got what? I think he's got 17 touchdown passes and two picks and then 10 rushing touchdowns, which are, I mean, those are really nice numbers. But, you know, you look at the Heisman Trophy winners, they're usually in like the 30s and 40s when you look at, you know, total touchdowns and whatnot. But, you know, I think you kind of have to put Matt Corral's season into context. You know, he was on one leg for a while with, you know, got carted off, you know, during a game and came back in, you know, a few minutes later. He's had a lot of receivers out. But I think the most important thing is that Ole Miss has been winning games and he has not turned the ball over. And that was always kind of the thing with him is, you know, last year, I think he threw 11 interceptions in two games. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the season, he only threw three. You know, when it rained, it poured for Matt last year. And he hasn't had a lot of moments where he turned the ball over at all, but he's done a really good job of just not letting things snowball and just kind of trudging forward. And, you know, I think most people would say that this Ole Miss offense is a lot of fun to watch, and it just does not operate without Matt Corral. I think Lane has said, you know, how important Matt is, and, you know, coaches don't necessarily love to put that on one guy, but I think he realizes just how special Matt is. And, you know, I don't know if there's a, you know, there's just going to be, you know, Bryce Young's having an amazing season. Kenny Pickett's having a great season. You know, those quarterbacks are probably going to end up with better numbers, but I don't know if there's a quarterback who means more to his team than what Matt Corral does for Ole Miss.
Now, how surprising was it last week getting back to that A&M game? You know, I don't think it was stunning by any means that Ole Miss won that game, but it was more the way they won. I mean, they dominated the rushing advantage. They won on the line of scrimmage. That defense really set the tone. How surprised were you that the game played out in that way?
Yeah, so I had a lot of scenarios envisioned in my head of, like, how Ole Miss could win. And winning a defensive struggle was definitely not, like, one of the ones that I had envisioned. Like, if I thought, you know, if Ole Miss was going to win against a very, very good A&M defense, it was going to be a Matt Corral Heisman game. Mm-hmm. That's how I thought it had to happen, and he was going to have his moment, and, you know, that's how it was going to come through for him. And, you know, Matt played fine, but, you know, he missed some throws, and he was not – as sharp as we have seen him at times. And the offense stalled a lot. You know, they were not very efficient in the part of the field where they needed to be. And, you know, this was a game that, you know, other than the third quarter where A&M, you know, kind of did some stuff offensively, it was a game where the Ole Miss defense really sort of dominated. And that was just not, you know, it's something that we've seen in stretches this year. You know, they'll have a good quarter, or, you know, they'll have a good, you know, few minute stretch, and then, you know, the levee breaks and things kind of, you know, something happens. But this was a game where really kind of from start to finish, the defense was really on top of things. And, you know, I don't know if I've, you know, really seen a game this year where I can say the defense is the reason Ole Miss won that game. You know, there's been moments, like I said, you know, the 2-point conversion, you know, fit fail from Arkansas, you know, that was a nice play. You know, against Auburn, they lost that game, but they held, you know, Auburn to just 3 points, and that kind of kept them in the game that whole second half. The offense just kind of let them down. You know, there have been games where you've seen the defense kind of, you know, make an impact, but it's never been really the reason that a game was decided. And this was just a really, really impressive performance. I honestly thought that A&M was going to be able to run the ball with those two good backs and that big physical offensive line. And, you know, I will eat crow on that one. I was wrong. The Ole Miss defense really, really stepped up.
All right, Michael, I really appreciate your time. I just got one more thing for you. We got the Egg Bowl I know we got a game this weekend with Vanderbilt, but I cannot imagine that there's anybody in that state that is not already looking forward to the Egg Bowl. Obviously, Thanksgiving night, it's going to be the battle for the second place in the SEC West. Who would have seen that coming in the preseason? Are you already sensing that energy and that buzz surrounding this game? And I believe this is going to be your first Egg Bowl, but you better be prepared, man, for something weird, because this is my favorite game every year in the SEC. Something wild always happens, and I think we're going to get it something weird again.
Yeah, and that's what's so great is, like, you know, I distinctly remember I was at a friend's house for Thanksgiving a couple years ago when Elijah Moore lifted his leg up. I remember that. I remember Matt Corral getting in the face of Jonathan Abram, I believe it was. That was the whole situation. It's just every year there is just something that is so abnormal. But that's just so, like, that's what makes it great. And there is so much energy just with, late on game day saying that Mike Leach is the best offensive play, you know, offensive coach in college football. And then Mike Leach saying, like, oh, no, I think he's just saying that. there's a good sort of banter between the two. They're just very good for in that aspect of things. And not to mention that, you know, Mississippi State, yeah, they have a couple of really weird losses. But they've also got a few really, really good wins. Mm-hmm. And, they're back in the top 25 of the CFP. I'm imagining they're going to take care of business against Tennessee State this weekend. You've got a 7-4 Mississippi State team against a 9-2 Ole Miss team with so much, a New Year's Six game on the line. The numbers seem to really like, Mississippi State. So if they won that game, I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe get a sniff there. And there's a lot on the line. The game is always it's always a spectacle, and I have been told to just kind of plan accordingly for not being as timely on deadline as I would like to be, because it's probably not going to be decided until the very last second.
Absolutely. All right. Well, he's Michael Katz. Got to give him a follow at Michael L. Katz. Don't forget to check out the Facebook group, Ole Miss Discussion with Parrish Alford and Michael Katz. Michael, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I appreciate Michael joining me. Again, you can follow him at Michael L. Katz on Twitter. And he does a hell of a job there covering the Ole Miss Rebels for the Daily Journal out of the state of Mississippi. Really thankful for his time. Giving us some insight into the Ole Miss Rebels. And I thought our audience would really love the fact that we got a guy from Pac-12 country who's coming in, getting his first taste of the SEC, and everything they say, living up to the hype. And, I mean, it's no surprise to anybody on this show, but it's as true as they say, man. There's nothing quite like the SEC out there.